praise the name. Hallelujah. Good morning to everybody. Praise the Lord. We thank the Lord for all that has been said and done, each and every word that has come forth. Hallelujah. Every testimony. Hallelujah. Every sacrifice and gift of praise. We owe it to God. We need to keep just giving Him all the praise. No matter what your situation looks like, no matter where you're going, where you're coming from, we want to praise the Lord. God is worthy of all the praise. Hallelujah. 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 So, I am here again. It's an honor to be here at this sacred place before you. And I know we've been talking about relationship with the Lord. Hallelujah. Believers and unbelievers. Fellowship. Hallelujah. And fellowship is so important with the Lord. Can y'all hear me all right? Cheeseburgers, can you hear me?
Amen. Yes, hear we can hear you. Yes.
Okay, good. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. All right, well, we'll start. As I was saying, fellowship. Amen. Fellowship is so important. Fellowship with believers, fellowship with the unbelievers is so important. Fellowship that draws the unbelievers. That's what I believe is important for us. Hallelujah. Fellowship. Amen. Fellowship is what? That we have connection with God and we have special connection one with the other. Fellowship. Amen. That means we are there for one another. We're there with God for one another. We're not alone. Amen. And that's different when it comes to the unbelief. So we're going to get into that a little bit. It's just so much, so I'm just asking the Lord to help me to just give you some key, powerful thoughts on it, and then go from there. So, my beginning power scripture is Matthew 13, and that is page 1168 in the verse, Matthew 13. And also, Romans 1 and 1, is divorce, 1373. Romans 1 and 1, divorce, 1373. And then Psalm 78, verses 6 and 7. All right, I'm going to start with verse 11 in Matthew 13. It says here, the knowledge of the secrets of heaven have been given to you, but it has not been given to them. Just remember, underline that again, that them, okay? Those who have something will be given more. Right? Those who have something will be given more. Those who have, number one, that something and someone is Jesus. They will be given more. And they will have abundance. And those who have nothing will lose what they have. They will be destitute. I teach in parables so people may look but not see. Listen but not hear or understand. They are fulfilling Isaiah's prophecy. You will listen, but you will not understand. You will look, but you will not see. The people's hearts have turned to flab. That's a flab. Their ears are clogged up. Their eyes are shut. They will try to see, but they will not see. They will try to hear, but they will not hear. They will try to understand, but they will not comprehend. If they, with their blindness and deafness, so choose, then, let's keep that in mind. If they, with their blindness and deafness, so choose, then I will hear. That's what the Lord says. All right? And in my, okay, so I'm going to go any further with this. All right? Verse 23 here says, the people who hear the word and receive it, grow in it. Those are like seed sown on good soil. They produce a bumper crop 30, 60, and 100 times what was sown. Alright? Father in heaven plants many seeds in order to ensure that some seeds bear fruit. The final harvest, however, is worth any amount of hard work. Alright? So it's definitely worth it. It's worth it. Amen. Okay? Psalm 78, 6 and 7. Okay. 2. And it says in the voice, so that the coming generation will know them by heart, even the children who are not yet born, so that they might one day stand up and teach them to their children. Tell them to put their confidence and hope in God and never forget the wondrous things he has done. They should obey his commandments always. They should obey his commandments always. Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay, and Romans 1 and 1. Just simply saying here, that's page 1373, it says, Paul, a servant of Jesus, the anointed called by God to be his emissary, and appointed to tell the good news, all right, of, where should go over to, one and three, of things promised long ago by God, spoken by prophets, and recorded in the Holy Scriptures. All of this good news is about his son, who was from a human perspective, born of David's royal line, and ultimately designated to be the true Son of God, with power upon his resurrection from the dead by the Spirit of holiness. I'm speaking of Jesus, the anointed one, our Lord. A word of prayer. Father, I just thank you for your word, and I praise you, because you are the teacher by the power of the Holy Spirit. Teach us, Lord. Just give us some golden nuggets from your word. Give us what we need, Lord, in order to stand in this hour. And give us what we need as believers so that we can have greater fellowship with unbelievers. Greater fellowship with non-believers, Lord. Greater fellowship and greater connection. We need to have connection, Lord, because we may not be able to exactly fellowship light with darkness. Lord, we are of the light, children of the light, but these are children of darkness that deal with unbelief. So help us, Lord, as children of light, to shine and to be bright, oh God, so that they can see, oh God, how to come out of the darkness. They must come out, Lord, and we pray that many will find their way out. The light of Jesus is so bright, it's so glorious. How can you miss it? But Lord, unbelief can cause us to miss it. In the name of Jesus, I thank you for each and every heart that is able to hear, Lord, and to receive this word. I thank you, Lord, that you are just reaching out to that light that needs you the most, that they will not, oh God, face eternity without you. For without you, Lord, there is no life. There is no peace. There is no joy. There is no hope. But through you, we have the hope of glory. dwelling with us. And we give you all the praise now. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Praise the Lord. All right. And so, initially, I go back to Matthew 13. And as I was saying here, a parable is an earthly story with what? A heavenly meaning. All right? It's an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. And Jesus was the author of those. He created them. All right? Yep. And a representation of or illustration of something real in life or nature. That's a part of the parable too. Representation or illustration of something real in life or nature from which a moral is drawn for instruction. In other words, you learn something from it. You learn something from this. And you don't have to be, you can be what? Just as true as you can understand English. If you're 3 years old, you can understand it. And you're able to understand it. And of course, when you have a mind as a believer to seek God, then you will understand. The truth of it will be made known to you because the Holy Spirit is there to help you understand. God does not want us in the dark. He doesn't want us in the dark. All right? And my thought, if I was to say something about this again for fellowship believers versus unbelievers, God is speaking to his people. God's perspective. God is speaking, church. God is speaking. And his perspective is what we need. All right? Whether we are believers or unbelievers. Non-believer. If there is a difference in that non-believer and the unbeliever. All right? The non-believer is just simply the individual that simply never believed. All right? They never believed on the Lord. They never, I don't know. In some cases today, because of the way the generation is going, many are not even hearing about the Lord. They're not even hearing. They're not, or they just have not experienced the invitation of coming to know Jesus. A lot of families and generations now are just excluding God. All right? They're excluding him. They don't have time for it. They've got time for everything else, but they don't have time for God. They don't have, if they don't have time for God, then they don't even have a chance to come to know Jesus. You know, and how can you know? You cannot go know God without knowing Jesus.
Right.
Jesus said what? There is no other way that you can come except through Jesus. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to me, or no one comes to the Father except through me. All right? And then, of course, the unbeliever is the one that we really have to continue to intercede for as having, in order to have fellowship. We can't have complete fellowship with the unbeliever unless that unbeliever changes their perspective and begins to see the perspective of God. What is the perspective of God? The perspective of God is that he wants us to see and know him for who he is. He's not trying to hide and duck and dodge. He's trying to show you that he's God. He's trying to show you that he's there for you. He's trying to show you, you know, if you was to truly experience the glory and the presence of God, you can't dwell in his presence.
That's right.
But the thing is that through Jesus, we have access to God the Father. It's so important to us, you know. But and an unbeliever has simply just said, I hear about Jesus, but I just don't think I want to have nothing to do with it. I just don't believe it. You know, I hear it, but I don't believe it. All right? So that's God's perspective, and his perspective is definitely for the unbeliever. But his perspective is also for what? The non-believer. And his perspective especially is for the believer. Okay? Why did Jesus speak in parables? The disciples were, had been around Jesus for some time now. And when Jesus preached to them, they understood his teaching. Okay? But some of them, but they were like non-believers at first.
Okay.
And they were unbelievers at first. I don't know, maybe basically they believed in God. You know, in that time, and they had a basic belief in God. But this is something amazing, how Jesus was God in the flesh,
yes,
and he walked on the earth with them, you know, walking right there with them, eating bread and fish with them, you know, drinking water. And I think Jesus even tasted that good wine. I think he did, you know, but the bottom line is that he was right there, God in the flesh. And so what better way to speak to the non-believer, the unbeliever, and then transform them into being the believer? What better way to speak and to reveal yourself? All right? So they were around him for that time. He preached to them. They understood his teaching. They were able to what? Receive greater revelation of his teaching because they spent more than they spent quite a bit of time. Spend time. It's so important. If you just make it your business, even if you don't believe, to just spend time, to just seek God.
Amen.
Just check him out. You know, this is for the unbelief. Just check him out. Put God to the test. And I promise you, he will show you that he is who he is.
Amen.
All right? God, and of course, Jesus is right there. You know, even if you don't even come directly like you're supposed to through Jesus, God has a way, because Old Testament, Jesus was not there.
Right.
Even though he was there, he wasn't there. All right? I don't know if you understand that completely, but I'll explain it to you more if we can teach more. But Jesus was there, but he was not there. All right? But the bottom line is God still dealt with his people. All right? He revealed himself in such a way that many had faith. Many believed God. And what? Abraham believed God. And it was accounted unto him as what? Righteousness, faith. And his faith was rewarded, because God said that his generation would become multiplied just like the grains of the sand and the stars of the sky. And to this day, that's exactly what happened, because he may not have even believed at first, but he believed, I believe, according to the word of God. He believed. God took any unbelief and transformed it. God took it. You know, that's what God does with each of us. How many of us were believers from the beginning? I know I wasn't. I sat on that street corner and twirled them dice, Jack, and, you know, and ran and robbed and steal, you know, and just beating on people, didn't have to do it, hanging with the wrong crowd. I knew about the Lord, but I sure didn't serve him. But I said, one day, I said, yeah, one day I'm going to serve you, Lord. I ain't ready yet, man. I put it right off just like that. And start, my mom would walk by, and we'd stop long enough for her to walk by. And then we'd get right back out there. hit them dice, you know. And boy, I lost more than I ever gained. But you know, the Lord let me go through that so he could help me to see that I needed him. And all of a sudden, I'll tell you about that in a minute. Let me go on. Jesus starts speaking and preaching to the crowds. This is when he started using parables. Jesus said that the things of God would be made plain and easier so that the people who were what? Listening could get more understanding and have an abundance of knowledge. Revelation, knowledge, and truth comes from God. And God reveals it to man as we seek him. But for those who were not listening, even what? The little understanding that they would have would be taken away. Man, you won't even have what you thought you would have. You know, and that's what happens with people. Sometimes they think they got something, and all of a sudden they got the biggest hole in their pocket, and everything is falling through right on the ground, and somebody else is picking it up. I'm telling you, but God doesn't want that. He wants us to be able to hold on to it. If we choose and determine that we will hold fast to his word, hold fast to his teaching, then he will definitely reward us for it. And most of all, he'll reveal the reward of himself. The greatest reward we can have is that God is revealing himself To be in the presence of the Lord is what? Fullness of joy. That's Psalm 16. The fullness of joy is in the presence of the Lord. Wow. Amazing. God, that's his perspective. That's what God's trying to get across to the unbeliever. That's what he's trying to get across to the believer. That's what he's trying to get across to the non-believer. He wants you to know that he is there for you. All right? He wants you to know that. But the key is that you just have to believe. Many see what they want to see, but are not really looking at the good news, the gospel, the good news. Look at, pay attention, just read it. I tell people all the time, I say, just read it. You know, you may not even believe, you may not even understand it, just read it. Because I promise you, by the time you get through, you're not going to be the same. You won't be the same. That was the thing about my brother. He told me, say, he picked his bottle of gin and his bottle of scotch and his, you know, whatever it was, whatever else they had, vodka. Man, he hit it. But do you know, every time he started getting high, the Lord would bring him to the Word of God. Bring him to the Word. I said, well, what better place to go to than the Word of God? Because if you did and went to anything else, you probably would end up dead or in jail or something, crippled or something, you know, before your time. A lot of people are dead now. You know, a lot of my friends that I was around, they're dead now. They're gone. Heart attack. Getting shot. Boy, only 14 years old. He's shot. He's gone. You know, his sister get hit by a car. I don't know. I guess she was about 12. I mean, just some everything happened. Family members gone. But the bottom line, and of course I had a brother, 23, but he had a mind for Jesus before he left here. Whatever unbelief he had, God transformed him. Took it right from him. The last time I saw him, he was sitting up in church, 15th Street, Church of God in Christ, right past. And he was praying in the Holy Spirit. I could see the boy praying. And the Spirit of God was dealing with me while I'm looking at him. Now, you're going to tell me, and I'm the one that supposed that I don't know if I believe or not. But I tell you one thing, by the time the Lord got through with me, I was seeking, I was believing. I said, wow, Lord, you're doing something for that brother of mine. And I know that that brother was, he was something before he came to the Lord. They called him the brain. He was the brain because he was going to college for economics. But that boy, I'm telling you, and then he inspired me at 10 years old to go out and earn my own money. I got out there, and from 10 years old, 10 and a half, I earned money. I carried 2 paper routes for 5.5 years. And I had the best customers in this side of Dodge. No, that's wrong. I call it Dodge, not Dodge. But I had the best customers in town. And I delivered over 200 papers a day. I don't know. So, you know, these bones was moving at that time. If we didn't sit still, we got, then, you know, if the dog came, I had something for him. I'd bust him up quick. Get out my way, boy. Move. I mean, there's some tough ones out there, too. But God just was, the Lord was obviously there for me, and I didn't even, you know, hadn't even received it, hadn't even believed on it. Fellowship with unbelievers. God's perspective. God's helping me to see that he was there all the time. Chicken bones. Wow. Okay. Many see that. You know, they want to see, but they're not really looking at the gospel. All right? But the bottom line is, it's because they are seeing from a selfish perspective without allowing the Holy Spirit to manifest himself in them. He's lying dormant because of the choice that was made to have it that way. If you make a decision to do it your way, then God, that blocks God. God is not no, he's not no slave driver. He ain't going to turn you around and just say, you got to do it this way, yourself. Oh, I'm going to show people what. You got to do it. You know how we did some of our children. We grabbed them in the collar. Grabbed them in the collar and yoked them. I had that belt, John. I had to make them dance. My daddy made me dance, too. No, my dad ain't going to do it. No. It's the truth. But God is not like that. He's not going to, he got his own way of chastening you, correcting you. And what? He whom the Lord loves, he chastens. And so he got his way of whooping you. But I'm telling you that. I thank the Lord that God ain't like me. I thank God. Because he has a way of showing his love. And God has tough love. His love is tough. He can allow you to go through some things that which make you wish you were not even breathing sometimes. Man, I wish I had never been born. What in the world is going on, Lord? You're doing this to me, Lord, as I'm doing it to myself. Sometimes I'm doing it to myself, right? Chickens. Bottom line is God wants us to do it right. Destroy that selfish spirit. And you destroy the self spirit by seeking the Holy Spirit. That's what you do. God is right there. He's dormant, but he's still alive. He's present. He's there. Goodness gracious. He's there. Think about that. He's there for the unbeliever. He's there for the non-believer. He's there for the believer. You hear, but are you listening? Can you really hear me now? God is saying, can you hear me now? David, can you hear me now, David? And God, I tell you, I've sat in that chair in my mama's living room. And I was sick and tired of gambling and running the street. I came home and sat in the chair. And the Holy Ghost said, and I didn't realize it was the Spirit of God, but he said, just give me a try. And when you try me, I'll be completely yours and you'll be completely mine. And you'll never be the same. And I said, Lord, give me a try. And my mama was over there, and she was in the kitchen praying and fasting. Somebody's praying and fasting for the non-believer. Somebody's praying and fasting for the unbeliever. Somebody's praying and fasting for the rebellious one. The one that is on their way to hell and destruction. Somebody's praying for you. And I'm telling you, God is just speaking and he's saying to you, I love you. I don't want to see you lost. It's not my desire that any should perish. But what? That all should come to me. I'm calling you. And Holy Spirit to just, that's his job, is to woo you and to draw you and to reveal God, reveal Jesus. That's what he wants to do. Hallelujah. Yeah, the word of God goes out in one ear, it goes in one ear and out the other. Are you really listening? Do you know that you heard something? Or let me make sure I got that right. You know you heard something, but what did you hear? You still desire to do what you want to do, so you don't listen. And then what? You don't get any understanding because you're not allowing your heart and your mind and your will to surrender. So you got a wall up. And that wall can block your blessing. I'm telling you. Impenetrable wall. Impossible to pass or see through, incapable of being what penetrated or pierced, impossible to understand, incapable of being comprehended. It's a wall, it's a blockage. But God wants to tear it down, and you just got to let him tear it down. Impenitent, not repentant of what sin. In other words, unrepentant of the hard heart. God doesn't want our hearts to be hardened. He wants to tender our hearts so that he can just take over and pour out his love on us. His love is just amazing. While salvation involves an understanding of what sin and a choice to repent, some people mistakenly think they themselves must clean their life up before coming to the Lord. But that is actually impossible. No one can make himself righteous. You can't clean yourself up. You know, you do your part best you can. Don't just sit there and don't do nothing. But the main thing is you got to come to the Lord on a daily and a regular basis. Just come to him. You know, just prove God. That he said, prove his word. And God's word will come to pass in your life. No one what can do that apart from the work of the Holy Spirit. Only God can what? Give you a clean heart, pure and holy desires, and a mind that's different from all that junk that used to that run through it. And you know that junk every now and then still tries to come up. But you've got up from the Holy Spirit and the Word of God to ward it off. Like David said, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. It takes practice, you know, it takes effort. It takes just having a determined mind. Like Pastor always said to us, your mindset, it depends on your mindset. If you make up your mind, then God's mind is going to fill your mind and transform it. Like Romans 1 talks about, don't be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may what? Prove the good and acceptable and perfect will of God that brings glory and praise and honor to the Lord. So for unbelievers, that false assumption can seem an insurmountable obstacle to salvation. Seems impossible for those that don't believe. That's why what? God's children must know the truth about repentance and share it, clearing the way for lost souls to trust Christ as Savior. We are the message that He has chosen to use. And we can do it, church. We can make it happen. Yes, we can. Amen. Yeah, we don't have to be allow them to continue to just be children that are rebellious children that, you know, there's some that just, I don't know, they may end up in wickedness and destruction. You know, they may just, only thing that for them is hell, I guess. And hell is what? The Bible says hell is enlarging itself every day. Hell. And it's a horrible place where there's weeping and gnashing and teeth torment. There's no peace. You know, just being eternally separated from God is hell. And you think you've been through some hell on this earth, you haven't really experienced the literal hell yet. It's yet to come, church. It's yet to come. So the key for Paul was that he was set apart for the gospel. That's what Romans 1:1 is about. And of course, if we would just give ourselves to the Lord, we will be vessels that can draw the unbeliever into fellowship. We will be vessels. Hallelujah. Thank the Lord for this message. I have completed it, but at least I have given you a word that is wonderful. And listen to this final word. God is telling you. He's telling you. He's telling you. He's telling you. I have started a precious work in the Lord, and I will be faithful to complete it. You gotta understand, you can't do without me, you can do nothing. But with Christ, we can do all things. And so, thank the Lord for this word. Thank the Lord. Hallelujah. The word of my Father, I just thank you again for your word. It has gone forth. Hallelujah. It is touching lives, Lord. It is tendering hearts, transforming hearts and minds right now. Finding out and destroying unbelief, Lord, moving it out and replacing it with belief and faith and trust in you. Hallelujah. Your word, hallelujah, is full of life, Lord, and power. And we just catch hold to your word in this hour and in the hour to come. Your word will never pass away. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but your word shall not pass away. And so, Lord, we hold fast to the promises of your word. This is from your mouth. You spoke it. And, Lord, it was so. And so, God, I thank you that you're touching and healing and transforming lives right now. You're just driving out unclean spirits and anything that's not like you. And you are releasing your healing power and your healing word. Send your healing word, Lord, and deliver and heal from destruction, even right now. And Lord, draw us closer to you as you draw us closer to one another. Fellowship is important. Unity is important. Oneness with you is important. Relationship is important. It's vital. And when we stand as one, Lord, we have power against the enemy. Satan, the Lord rebuke you. The blood of Jesus is against you. I command you to leave the presence of God's people. Take your hand off. I command sickness to go now. All kind of pain and confusion, leave in the name of Jesus. We release salvation. We release peace. We release the power of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. We release truth now to set the captive free, to open the blinded eyes, to strengthen those feeble bones and let them get up and walk and run if they have to. Glorify the living God, for he is present, hallelujah, to heal and to save and to deliver and to reveal himself. Lord, we love you. We bless you and we praise you. We exalt you now. We give you the glory, hallelujah. You are worthy of all the praise, the honor, and the glory. Bless us now as we prepare, Lord, to just continue in worship, continue in service, continue in obedience unto you, and we praise you for it. Touch the children now. Touch those who are dealing with COVID. Touch, oh God, all manner of sickness and disease. You came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. We give you all the praise today, right now, Lord, in Jesus' name. God's people said amen. Amen. Hey, man, get me.